That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your Social Security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
I'm Kyle Montgomery with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Giants head coach Ben McAdoo told reporters Wednesday that he's at peace with his decision to sit Eli Manning this week against the Raiders, giving Geno Smith the start. Manning threw with the scout team for the first time in East Rutherford on Wednesday. Jameis Winston will be back under center for the Bucs when they head to Lambeau on Sunday. Winston missed the last three games with a shoulder injury. Jay Cutler, meantime, will be back on the field for the Dolphins this week when they take on the Broncos in Miami. After missing last week's loss to the Patriots, Cutler cleared concussion protocol on Wednesday. And Falcons running back Devontae Freeman also out of the league's concussion protocol. Freeman missed 2 weeks in a row with the concussion. Tom Brady sat out of practice Wednesday with a sore Achilles tendon. He is expected to be good to go, however, for Sunday's divisional game against the Bills. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Napa Know-How. Keeping it simple is usually a good thing. And when it comes to rewards programs, keeping it simple is always a good thing. That's why we made the Napa Rewards program effortless. All you need is your phone number to start saving on the parts and tools you need. Then we automatically give you $5 off your next purchase for every $100 you spend. So start saving today with Napa Rewards. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
What makes a holiday card unforgettable? Personality. And no one makes it easier or more affordable to create a holiday card full of personality than Vistaprint. Right now, get 60% off all custom holiday cards. That means 30 cards start at less than $12. With hundreds of stunning designs, your personality will shine through with every card you send. Just go to Vistaprint.com today and enter the promo code RADIO to get 60% off all custom holiday cards. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code RADIO.
Well, it's 5:05, and we may or may not have just had a very unfortunate incident occur involving something that a member of management made for a party today, and my perhaps insulting her at the top of the hour. Well, I'll share my story coming up in a few minutes. Todd Bravo Camp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing on here on, oh boy, I hope I'm not in trouble for this one. 106.3 and 107.5 FM. 1600 a.m. taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Lots more to get to. We're going to talk Cyclone Sports with Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports. He's with us at the bottom of the hour. It's Thursday, so that means Woodja as well. And remember, we've still got those tickets to see Foreigner at the U.S. Cellular Center in downtown Cedar Rapids. That concert is coming up in March. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m., so you can win them before you can buy them.
Did you say something about somebody's cake?
It did involve the cake.
Okay.
And I was caught doing something to the cake or with the cake by the person who made the cake. And now I have a feeling that, yeah, I'm going to be in a little bit of hot water. But that's neither here nor there. I was very concerned when we had to move Adam Rittenberg, our next guest, from 4:30 back. I thought perhaps he had been named the new head coach at Tennessee, and that's why he was unable to join us at 4:30. But we've got him now at a little bit after 5 o'clock. And Adam, I'm borrowing this from somebody on Twitter earlier today, but I never thought that I would see the George O'Leary situation topped among college coaching searches. But what's going on at Tennessee right now has that lapped about 10 times over. What's the latest?
Well, they're still looking for a coach there. And the amazing thing, guys, is that there's still some pretty good options. You know, the latest buzz has been around Kevin Sumlin, who was fired on Sunday. As Texas A&M's coach, and you never want to hire a fired coach necessarily, but here's a guy that has a great winning percentage overall, has a winning record in the SEC. Yeah, he didn't win championships, but at this point, you're not on your A-list, you're not on your B-list, and I think if you could end up with a guy like Kevin Sumlin, that would be a win at this stage for Tennessee, because it's been such a mess. I mean, we're going to be talking about this coaching search for years, as just the one that you never want to follow if you're a school, if you're an athletic director, if you're folks that are searching for a coach. I think Les Miles is another option. I know he hasn't gotten much traction for anything since being fired last September by LSU, but talking to a source close to him today, he's very interested in this Tennessee job, and he's a coach that has a very good winning percentage in the SEC, a couple of titles, and then the national title a decade ago at LSU.
Adam, well, I want to get to Les Miles in just a second, but at this point, are you surprised that John Curry still has a job as the athletic director at Tennessee?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think the problem here is that any coach that you hire, especially if they're currently employed and doing well, which has been most of the candidates that Tennessee's looked at, they want to know who their boss is. So, you know, if he's making the hire, then he has to have a little bit of security so that he gives the guy he's hiring some security. So, at some point, if this doesn't continues on the way it's going, I don't know if John's going to be able to survive. But you also want to offer some level of comfort to your next football coach. And at that point, I think you have to keep John Curry around for a little bit.
Once this is all over and the dust settles, how do all parties move on from this? I mean, it's going to be impossible to act as if this didn't happen. Whoever gets the job is going to know that they're number 12, 13, 14 on the list. The fan base is going to feel a little bit jaded after this. How does everybody move on and do what's best for Tennessee football moving forward?
Well, I would hope that the fan base would give whoever's hired a chance. You know, they weren't the one that created this. This was partially Tennessee fans, partially John Curry, and partially Butch Jones for just not winning enough games. I mean, guys, I was told as recently as late October, early November, that John Curry did not want to fire Butch Jones. He just was so bad and left Curry no choice but to make this move. Now, Curry never thought it could go like this in the search, but that's part of this too. I would just say to the Tennessee fans that when you get your next coach, you got to try to support him, because there have been candidates that I've talked to that definitely looked at this as a toxic situation, and I don't want to be part of it. Even though they have a lot of advantages there, great facilities, a great stadium, a tradition of winning. So that's a factor, too. So I hope that when this is all said and done and it's settled there, that that this next coach at least gets a fair shake from the fan base.
Adam, a report yesterday by 24/7 Sports said that T. Martin, the offensive coordinator at USC, has been begging for the job. He obviously won a national championship as a quarterback at Tennessee. Are you surprised at all that he hasn't gotten a call yet?
No, because T. Martin isn't ready for this job. I like T. a lot, and I know he's got a lot of support in that community, but he's been a coordinator for 2 years, guys. That's not a pedigree to become an SEC head coach, even if it is your alma mater, even if you are well-connected in the business. So it's just a matter of readiness, and I think T. will be a head coach. I think he could be a really good head coach, but ultimately you have to give this job to somebody who is ready for the job. And T. Martin, in my estimation, and in many of the folks I talk to around the sport, simply is not ready.
Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com with us here for a few more minutes. Sticking in the SEC, assuming that all of these rumors are true, that Jimbo Fisher is ready to jump ship to Texas A&M, what happens at Florida State?
Well, this will be a coveted job. This is still a top 10 job, great access to talent, a championship tradition there. And while Jimbo has complained about facilities and investment and are we all in or not, you know, Florida State has made improvements to its stadium, to its coaches' offices. They have an indoor facility there. They still have better facilities, guys, than Miami and Florida do. Now, Florida's in the process of building a standalone football building, and so is Florida State. So I think they would attract a lot of good candidates. The one that, you know, we've heard the most about is Willie Taggart, the first-year coach at Oregon right now. And, you know, he's a Florida guy, built South Florida into one of the better teams in the Group of Five. A lot of Power Five type talent in that program. He's a Jim Harbaugh. He's from the Jim Harbaugh coaching tree. So he's got a lot of interesting things about him. And so I think he would be near that top of the list. Maybe Charlie Strong, who took over for Taggart at USF. Maybe Kevin Sumlin, who's being talked about now for the Tennessee job. And I think there'd be others that would be interested in this one. This is still a premier job in the country, and I think a lot of coaches would have to think about putting in for this one.
Could one of those coaches be Scott Frost, or is the Nebraska job all but his?
It's his. Again, it would really be shocking at this point if anything but that happens, and I think it would happen soon. I think by this time next week, if Scott Frost hasn't been introduced, as the Nebraska head coach, then something's gone very wrong. I think there could be a good chance he's the Nebraska head coach by the end of the weekend. Your coaches on his staff are anticipating that. They're deciding whether they want to go with him already to Nebraska or maybe stay at UCF. Troy Walters, his offensive coordinator, would likely be a candidate to replace Scott Frost at UCF. So, you know, whether it's Florida State or even Oregon, which might be a more attractive job for Scott because he used to work there if Willie Taggart takes the Florida State job, I think he wants this thing wrapped up. I think he knows it's time to come home and coach Big Red again.
Adam, you mentioned Les Miles just a minute ago, and I thought about this before the show today. A guy who's 141-55 in his head coaching career, and you hear all these names that are recycled year in and year out. You heard Kevin Sumlin's name get brought up. You've heard Brett Bielema's name get brought up. You've heard John Gruden and Herm Edwards' name get brought up. Why has his name been so hush over the past year?
You know, I think it's because people look at Les Miles having one of the most talented rosters in all of college football at LSU and not being able to get it done the past few years, not being able to maximize talent and being quite frankly stubborn on offense. I mean, their offensive struggles that they even had this year, you know, stem back to the Les Miles era. And, you know, again, what he did to that quarterback position in Baton Rouge is borderline criminal. I mean, they had so many different guys come through there that either were highly rated recruits or you know, people that were supposed to help that offense, and it never materialized, at least in the last 7-8 years. So I think that's the hesitation. You know, we know what we're hiring with Les Miles. We're hiring personality. We're hiring a winning track record. But is he going to change his ways on offense? Is he going to maximize talent at a program, whether it's Tennessee or any of these other ones that aren't in the upper crust of college football, a program where he's not going to have a bunch of five stars?
Adam, what was your reaction yesterday when your ESPN colleague Herm Edwards took the Arizona State job?
Well, he didn't take it yet. Let's be clear. He got an interview this weekend, but from everything I've been told from sources throughout the industry, he is the only candidate at this point for the Arizona State job. It's a very unique situation. I'm not overly optimistic because you know, Herm Edwards hasn't coached at the college level since the 80s. His record as an NFL head coach is 20 games below 500. He's a terrific motivator. He's a great personality. I think he would recruit well. I think he'd give good locker room speeches. But I think there's a feeling around athletic directors and others that I talk to in the sport. They don't know what Ray Anderson exactly is doing other than hiring his buddy who he used to represent as an NFL agent. Now, he set very high expectations at the news conference where they announced the firing of Todd Graham. He wants to keep some of Graham's assistants on staff, which is also bizarre. So just a strange situation where you have an athletic director that clearly has a lot of autonomy here, kind of acting on his own. I don't think this is something that has unanimous support by any means in the Arizona State community, but ultimately it's Ray Anderson's hire, and he seems ready to make Herm Edwards the next coach. So at the very least, it should be fascinating, guys. But I think after what's happened with Lovie Smith at Illinois so far, and even Jim Mora at UCLA, a career NFL coach who had a little bit of success and then faded and was eventually fired, I would be very leery of this type of move.
Adam, speaking of UCLA, what are the first orders of business for Chip Kelly to make UCLA competitive again in the Pac-12?
Well, I think it's going to be shaping the roster into something he can work with. And I don't think it'll be that hard to do that, but I think reforming his staff and in making sure that they're as solid as they can be from a recruiting standpoint in Southern California. You know, recruiting's never really been Chip's forte. I don't think he's anti-recruiting, but he's not one of these coaches where that's at the top of his list. I think he's a scheme guy. He's very confident in the plays he calls and the track record he's had, especially in the Pac-12. But you need to get that offense in a spot where they can be dangerous and fast and all the things we remember from the great Oregon team. And maybe more important, they need to get their defense on track, guys. I mean, they couldn't stop the run at all this season. And so I think the defensive coordinator hire and how they start building on that side of the ball is going to be critical because UCLA's got a lot of talent. They just haven't maximized it in the last 2 or 3 years.
Which conference championship game this weekend are you most looking forward to, Adam?
Well, I'm going to be in Indianapolis at the Big Ten game for the first time in several years. So selfishly, I hope it's that one that's at least more compelling than the last time those teams met in the Big Ten title game. But I think the SEC game in Atlanta with Auburn and Georgia, you know, Georgia wanting to avenge their loss to Auburn a few weeks ago, which was a blowout loss, and Auburn you know, maybe the hottest team in the country coming into that one. I would be more excited about Clemson and Miami, guys, if Miami was fully healthy. They're not, unfortunately. They lost their starting tight end and top wide receiver to season-ending injuries in the last 6 days or so. But I think all the games, I mean, I've been down on this weekend the last few years because there were such lopsided matchups. And this year, there's meaningful matchups throughout the country, really, really good teams going at it. So that makes it a lot more exciting.
Well, let's talk about that Big Ten championship game. Ohio State came in at number 8 in this week's college football playoff rankings. If they win, is there any chance that they can get into the college football playoff, or are they on the outside looking in at this point?
Well, right now they are, but I do think if they win, they would give the committee at least something to think about. It would probably come down to Ohio State and Alabama. You know, Alabama has looked more like a top four team most of the year than Ohio State has, but the Buckeyes would have 3 better wins than Alabama's best win, possibly, unless LSU jumps Michigan State. And they'd have a conference championship, which is supposed to be a tiebreaker. Now, I think it would be kind of a bad message either way, putting Ohio State in with 2 blowout losses, including one to a 7-5 Iowa team. And then on the other hand, you put Alabama in without a conference championship and without really any signature wins other than maybe LSU, which was a home win. So it's not too great options, but I think it would give us a little bit better understanding of how the committee thinks. They've had it pretty easy these first 3 years. And so if there's things like Ohio State beating Wisconsin and TCU beating Oklahoma, even Miami beating Clemson, I think it would give us a better idea of how they think about these really tough decisions in the end.
Adam, one more question for you, and it's circling back around to the coaching situation. What do you think is next for Brett Bielema?
I think either he sits out a year or, you know, there's gonna be a kind of second wave to this coaching carousel, I think, with some dominoes that could still fall. And, you know, one area or one school that we're still watching a little bit, although nothing has happened yet, is Kansas State and Bill Snyder. And whether Bill wants to come back for another year, 78 years old, he obviously started battling cancer at this time last year. I do believe if Kansas State came open, I know Bill wants his son Sean to get the job. I don't get the sense that's going to happen. I think Brett would be a primary candidate for Kansas State because he was the defensive coordinator there. Iowa guy, goes back with Bill Snyder a long time. So if it's not that, I think there's a decent chance Brett sits out a year and gets back into it in the 2018 cycle.
Adam, we know how busy you are this time of year. We appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us here in Eastern Iowa. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Adam Rittenberg off to Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game this weekend. Ohio State and Wisconsin, one of the 6 games that we'll pick tomorrow on the Gym Class during the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6. We're also picking the AAC championship game between Memphis and Central Florida.
I'm so sad that I'm not going to be able to be here for that.
What I need you to do is I need you to talk those guys up, UCF. Talk them up and talk the Gym Class into, yeah, it's going to be a repeat.
40-13.
Yep, 40-13. Turnovers galore. It's going to happen again. And then they make, because who won last week? It's the first game. So Kyle won. Oh, shoot. Kyle won last week, which means we start. We're the first 3 to pick, you, me, and Sean. So there goes the strategic advantage of trying to.
Do you think that if, first of all, they could be listening. Second of all, if I try
somebody is always listening. That's the first thing you need to know about this show.
The second thing is if I tried to talk up UCF to them, they would know something was up. And third of all, it would be very difficult for me to do that. It would be very UCF's
prediction,
a great team.
Prediction. Tomorrow, all 6 panelists take Memphis and the points in the AAC championship.
They don't have to. You guys don't have to do that. That's all. That's what I will say if Scott, Mark, and I know Kyle is listening because he's across the glass.
But
you don't have to do that. Go with
maybe,
your heart. Go
maybe
with
I
what
put
you believe.
That game on there because I thought everybody would pick Memphis because they didn't want to offend you, thus washing out a game where we could lose ground.
Or maybe, since I won't be here, they won't feel that need to pick Memphis.
This is true. Alex is going to be on his way to Orlando tomorrow, so it'll be Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in as we'll be doing the show from the studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. 5:22. How did I get myself in hot water with the boss? Well, it involves a piece of cake. And
delicious
as
cake,
most
by the
things
way.
Do in this building, my mouth. Back with more, including that story, after this.
Back in 1947, when young Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, he could pick up a pound of coffee for just 33 cents. Prices have changed a bit since then, so now, 7 decades later, $70 would be a very nice windfall, and $700 would be absolutely spectacular. So in honor of Hertin and Stocker's 70th anniversary, you can register right now to win one of 70 $70 gift certificates Hertin and Stocker is giving away. Drawings begin on Black Friday and continue through December 18th. And on that final day, one person's name will be drawn to win the grand prize of a $700 gift certificate for their store. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and register for your chance to win. And be sure to wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
I'm the neighbor with the orange tractor. I plant, grow, harvest, haul, and feed. Caring for the land is a responsibility we all share out here. For our families, for ourselves, for us all. Right now, a Kubota M7 can be yours with 0% financing for up to 84 months. Now through December 31st, 2017. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
5:24, back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, at least for another day or so until this blows over on me. I should have known better. It was 5 o'clock, and that's a bad time to be doing things because people are still in the building, but they're also leaving the building. We had a party earlier today for a very valued member of the staff here, Dell, our engineer in the building. And you may remember yesterday I told the story about how I was a jerk on his retirement poster. And the phrase that I wrote alluded to the time that we watched his hat blow off and he had to basically chase it down a hill. Dell is not a 25-year-old young man like Alex or Kyle. And so I felt bad about that yesterday. So we had a party, a retirement party for Dell today, and it was fantastic. And we're going to miss him in the building. And we had lunch. It was catered in. And then our general manager was kind enough to make a cake and bring it
in. Very good cake.
And as you know, I am, as I've mentioned on the program before, I'm trying to lose weight. As a matter of fact, I am losing weight. I just crossed another threshold this morning when I looked at the scale. So I was feeling particularly motivated today and up to 21 pounds down. And I read an interview with the new manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, Gabe Kapler. And you know where I'm going with this. Gabe Kapler.
I think so.
Have you seen Gabe Kapler? He's ripped. He's a physical specimen.
Very strong individual.
And there was a story about him during his time. He retired from Major League Baseball, managed in the Boston minor league system for a year, and then came out of retirement. So when he was managing the team in Greenville, I think it's Greenville, North or South Carolina.
I think it's North Carolina.
Is it North Carolina?
That's where ECU is.
When he was managing the Red Sox affiliate in Greenville, he loves ice cream. And so he would put the ice cream in his mouth and he would let it melt. And then he had a spit cup, a spitter, just like, you know, put a little napkin in the bottom, just like he got some Skol or something in. And so
he would spit his ice cream out.
He'd get the taste of the ice cream and then he would spit the ice cream out so that he wasn't polluting his body with the, no, I'm not that hardcore, but I see this piece of cake there on the table, leftover cake, and I didn't have any today because I'm adhering to the diet, and I'm thinking, this is a really good opportunity for me to go Gabe Kapler on this cake. So I take the cake.
I put it
in my mouth, and it's chocolate cake. And sometimes we joke around the building because things that look bad for you are actually like zucchini based or whatever.
It tasted like it, but it wasn't.
This was an honest to God chocolate cake with chocolate
with
frosting.
Buttermilk.
Buttermilk, yes.
It was extra
the whole
unhealthy.
Nine yards. Extra unhealthy. And I'm putting it in, and I'm I'm masticating. I'm moving it all around in my mouth. I'm getting it coating my mouth. And I've got a napkin, and I am blurping the cake out of my mouth. Again, this is at the 5 o'clock top of the hour break. People are leaving the building. Who comes around the corner just at the moment where I'm spitting out the cake?
The person who made the cake.
The person who made the cake, who also happens to sign the paychecks here. And at that moment, I have to try to explain myself, and I don't know whether the explanation... Don't know who Gabe Kapler is, not buying the fact that it was a theory about trying to enjoy the... Yeah. So we'll see tomorrow.
And there's not enough time to explain either.
It might be the Kyle Mann show with Rob Howe tomorrow. I may be on hiatus over my cake exploits. It tasted really good, and I wanted to eat the whole piece of cake, and I can't do it because on the type of diet that I'm doing, it'll kick you off, and then you got to spend days to get back to where you've been. So my apologies to everybody in the building, especially the person who saw me yakking the cake into the timing could not have been any worse. And I got to think better. I got to be better than that. It's 5 o'clock. People are starting to leave the building, and there I am out in the open. I go, no.
Spitting cake.
It's not bad cake. I'm doing the Gabe Kapler.
Do you like put it in your gums like you're chewing?
Oh, just nosh it around. That's all over there. It was a big piece of cake, too. And now that I've disgusted everybody, as they're probably ready to head home and enjoy their dinner tonight, let's send it over to Kyle for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, with over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
Iowa had a pair of all-timers on this year's defense, and today they were each recognized by the Big Ten as the best at their position. Cornerback Josh Jackson was named the Tatum Woodson Defensive Back of the Year. Josie Jewell earned the Butkus Fitzgerald Linebacker of the Year, as well as the Nagurski Woodson Defensive Player of the Year. This may be the least surprising news of the football season, but Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell was named the Big 12 Coach of the Year today. He took a 3-9 team from last season to 7-5 this season, the best year for the Cyclones since 05. And while the Cyclones had only ever had one victory over a top five opponent in program history, Campbell led his team to 2 in this season alone. The Iowa women nearly upset number 13 Florida State last night. The Hawkeyes led 71-63 entering the fourth quarter, but 21 turnovers on the night came back to bite them, and they fell 94-93 in the final minutes. Megan Gustafson had 34 points on 15 of 18 from the floor, but was held to single-digit rebounds for the first time this season. The UNI men did upset UNLV last night. Bennett Cook led with 30 points in the 77-68 victory over the previously unbeaten Rebels. Clint Carlson also chipped in 23. Northern Iowa now has a few good non-con wins already, and to put things into perspective, their RPI is 27, Iowa State is 20, and Iowa is 237. Tonight after the show, we're headed all over the place. We've got a lot going on. On 1600 AM, the historic main gym will have Iowa State women traveling to Drake, set to tip off right at 7. We'll also have the Iowa City West guys hosting Dowling. That's on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and Linmar visiting Kennedy on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
This show is all over the place for the most part anyway.
I want to go get some cake during this break.
There's plenty of it left.
Good.
And
good.
You guys
I will
aren't,
eat it, though.
You guys aren't trying to lose weight or anything, so you can go ahead and chew it and swallow it. I thought I was being clever. I thought I was treating myself to the taste, but not putting it in my body. And then, well, needless to say, it's all downhill from there. Except for our next guest, Alex Halstead, 24/7 Sports, is going to join us. We'll talk Matt Campbell, Iowa State basketball, and more. Don't go anywhere.
This bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update is brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with the people and answers you need at their next CPAP BiPAP clinic. Get details at careprohealthservices.com.
Looking to improve your family's wellness? CarePro is ready to help. They know it can be a bit baffling figuring out what vitamins you and your family need. So they'll help you find the right balance of those important nutrients. This time of year, in particular, it's important to pay attention to vitamin D because your body doesn't get enough sunlight to create it naturally. So supplementing is important. CarePro Pharmacies in Cedar Rapids, Mount Vernon, North Liberty, and Tipton, helping you connect with people and answers you need.
ESPN Radio SportsCenter.
I'm Doug Brown with breaking news. Rick Pitino says his contract was breached and he was fired without cause. So he's suing the University of Louisville Athletic Association for $37.6 million. Pitino was put on leave and then fired after Louisville announced it was under an FBI bribery investigation. Tiger Woods playing the first round at the Hero World Challenge today at the tournament he hosts in the Bahamas. Woods shoots a 3-under 69. He's three shots off the lead, which is held by Tommy Fleetwood. ESPN's Mark Schlabaugh reports Florida State is trying to get an answer soon from coach Jimbo Fisher about whether he'll stay on the job. Fisher is being offered a big-money deal to become the new coach at Texas A&M. NC State will keep Dave Doran. He'll get a new five-year contract worth $15 million after interviewing for the Tennessee job. Texas defensive back Deshaun Elliott says he'll skip the Longhorns bowl game and his senior season to enter the NFL draft. Week 13 kicks off tonight with the Redskins and the Cowboys in Texas.
Domino's loves you so much that they're offering 50% off the menu price on all pizzas when you order now on Domino's.com. Online only and valid November 27th through December 7th. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary. Offer only applies to the pizza portion of your order.
That's the sound of your in-laws' cat perched over your bed at 3 a.m. You wanted to save money this holiday, so you settled for their house. Now you're staring into the eyes of pure evil. If you booked a hotel on Priceline, you could have saved up to 60%. That's up to $120 a night. Plus, you'd be in your own comfortable, cat-free room. Save up to 60% on hotels when you book on Priceline and get the deals you won't find anywhere else.
Express deals are different. Exact hotel shown only after booking.
Fresh-cut Christmas trees can transform any home for the holidays. Right now, they've transformed the Home Depot. Our Christmas tree lot is full to the brim and ready to explore with fresh-cut trees fresh from the farm in all shapes, sizes, varieties, and possibilities. Christmas is in the air at the Home Depot. Come breathe it all in. Together, we'll find the perfect Christmas, and it starts at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Selection and prices vary by store.
You get such an amazing shave using a Dollar Shave Club razor with their shave butter that you'll want to use their other products too. They make stuff for your hair, face, skin, and shower, and they deliver it to you. They even have gift memberships and e-cards available. And right now, you can get your first month of the club's best razor along with travel versions of their shave butter, body cleanser, and butt wipes for just $5. After that, replacement cartridges ship for just a few bucks a month. Get it all exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/jones. That's dollarshaveclub.com/jones.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Welcome back in, 5:35, and I can honestly say nobody on the text line is copping to them ever having a situation similar to the one that I just admitted to. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight on all three KGYM frequencies, 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, high school basketball and college hoops on the horizon for you tonight. A little, we even got Thursday night football to look forward to when I get home tonight as well. It's Cowboys and Redskins this week, so get those. Ooh, we got Kirk Cousins. We're going to find out early
on. I still can't
get
over the last story. I'm sorry.
We're going to find out early on this week whether or not we're shaping up for a strong finish in the Imon Communications KGYM Fantasy Football Listener League, but neither here nor there right now. Woods is coming up to kick off the 6 o'clock hour. We've still got tickets to see Foreigner at the U.S. Cellular Center in downtown Cedar Rapids. Remember, those tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m., so you can win them before you can even buy them. But right now, as promised, Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports joining us on the line. And Alex, so let's go ahead and start with the major story of the week, and that's Matt Campbell getting the contract reworked with Jamie Pollard at Iowa State. And your reaction to how this all played out and the news that Matt Campbell's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I think it kind of went according to plan. I think how it needed to go. You know, there obviously were a lot of rumors swirling over recent weeks. I think you can really kind of go back to after they beat Oklahoma when Kirk Herbstreit tweeted. That's when they first started, and then they really picked up steam, though, in recent weeks when some of these jobs opened, whether it was Tennessee or I think even Florida, just any job you would kind of have him put down on somebody's hot board. And so Matt Campbell had said pretty adamantly that he was going to stay at Iowa State even after the game Saturday. At that post-game press conference, he told us that he was at Iowa State, quote-unquote, for the long haul. But he said he even understands that you can tell recruits as much as you want. You can tell fans that you're going to stay. But until you do something, until you prove it, you know, you can say whatever you want. So I think they had to kind of prove it, especially before they went on the recruiting trail. And they did that Monday, like you said, a six-year deal worth $22.5 million. It's going to come out to about $3.5 million per year. And they give him good money. You know, that puts him right in the top part of the Big 12. And I think also the years that you need to recruit. So it's a completely new deal. It's not an extension. They rip up the old deal, give him this new deal. And then I think the other thing, the big question I got, even after I put out that he had signed the deal, was what about his buyout? And his buyout next year is going to be $7 million. So still a substantial buyout, which I think most fans are pleased with as well.
A lot of people are talking about the dinner between Matt Campbell and Jamie Pollard the day after the regular season ended, kind of an atypical way to negotiate a contract. But Matt Campbell, yes, he's been adamant all along that he's staying, but a lot of the words out of his mouth are about his relationship with Jamie Pollard. Do you think we're underestimating just how close those two are?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. You know, one of the things, interesting things with Campbell is he doesn't have an agent in the typical sense. He does have a financial advisor that has been key, and his financial advisor is the one that helped put together his original deal when he came from Toledo. But he doesn't have an agent that you would, you know, one of those name agents or how. I mean, it's just kind of a different situation for him. And so a lot of this was done between himself and Pollard on Sunday, like you mentioned. And so that's a little bit different. And I think the relationship is a key part, you know. He kind of alluded to the fact that you've kind of seen at some of these schools where the AD and there's a lot, I think the way Jamie Pollard has described it is some schools, there's a lot of people with their hands involved in a football program or in an athletic department. And at least at Iowa State so far, you know, it's kind of those numbers are limited. And so I think Matt Campbell has liked that, you know, for the most part, he goes to Jamie personally for things. And, you know, one of those things is his idea for more facility enhancements that are now underway. So I think he does like how kind of low key it is compared to maybe a situation that you see right now at Tennessee, or that's kind of a crazy example, but even some other schools where there's a lot of people involved. So the relationship has been big, and especially for the fact that I think so far Jamie's understood his vision and given him what he wants in terms of pushing forward some of his ideas.
What's Iowa State's best possible scenario as far as a bowl game at this point?
Best case is that probably it's kind of a weird situation, because when you look at the scenarios, for them to go to really, if you want to go talk about the way the bowls stack up in terms of their pecking order, the best case scenario is the Camping World Bowl for Iowa State. It's the second in the pecking order after the Alamo Bowl, December 28th in Orlando. That's the best bowl that they can go to. But for that to happen, you probably have to have TCU beat Oklahoma. And so it's kind of a weird situation right now. You know, TCU's, I think, 11th in the latest playoff ranking. So if they don't beat Oklahoma, they probably fall out of a New Year's Six and go to the Alamo. Then Oklahoma State falls to the Camping World, and Iowa State could fall then, maybe even to the Liberty. So it's just so many working parts, because we assume that, you know, TCU has to win to get a New Year's Six Bowl. Maybe something happens and they don't have to win, but most likely I think TCU probably has to beat Oklahoma, then Iowa State would probably go to the Camping World Bowl. If that doesn't happen, if Oklahoma wins the title on Saturday, I could see Iowa State in the Liberty Bowl. The order goes Alamo Bowl, Camping World Bowl, Texas Bowl, Liberty Bowl, but there's a lot of thought that the Texas Bowl would like to take Texas, even with one less win and below some of these teams in the conference. There's a lot of thought that they would like to get Texas and match them up with somebody in the SEC. So I think Iowa State would probably fall past that, and I don't know if they would fall past the Liberty Bowl considering how they traveled last time. So right now I think it's probably Camping World or Liberty, and I guess we'll find out Sunday for sure.
Alex, how much has the sting of the controversial Kansas State loss been minimized with the news of Matt Campbell getting the new contract, and the fact that Iowa State fans realize that this team's heading to a bowl game?
Yeah, I think they've gotten it over a little bit. I think one of the interesting things is, you know, how they wanted, they'd be 8-4 and they'd be kind of right there with Oklahoma State, but I don't know if their bowl positioning would be a whole lot different. You know, maybe they could make a case for the Alamo, but it'd probably still be Oklahoma State or TCU. So all in all, I don't think their bowl positioning has been affected a ton. And so I think for that reason, you know, it's probably gotten over a little bit. And I think, like you said, they've kind of moved on to the fact that this team did overachieve in terms of what some thought preseason. You know, I wouldn't say Iowa State in the future, the way Matt Campbell talks, is going to be satisfied with just winning 7 games. You know, it kind of in a similar way where he said he's not satisfied with just going 6-6 and getting to a bowl game every year. But, you know, for this team, 7 wins, they lost their 5 games by a combined 25 points. You know, they were competitive all year, and they're going to a bowl game, like you said, for the first time since 2012. I think a lot of that has been minimized. A lot of fans are excited for them to finish this recruiting class, go to a bowl game, and then kind of look ahead to next year, because they do return a lot of pieces. They lose some key pieces, but I think there's a lot of excitement just for the fact that this team, their schedule could be favorable next year in terms of they get some of those easier Big 12 games at home, no UNI next year. So, yeah, South Dakota State, which is another good FCS team. But their schedule sets up nice next year. So I think there's a lot of things where they've kind of gotten over that game and looking ahead to first the bowl game and then maybe a brighter future.
Alex, let's go back to that game on Saturday, the controversial pass interference that was called, and then the flag was picked up, and it really affected the outcome of that game. And I even go back to, I think it was Thursday night, where I was watching Texas and Texas Tech, and the officials sort of took over that game. I know this is somewhat of a loaded question, but for someone who watches as much Big 12 football as you do, does this conference have a little bit of an officiating problem, in your opinion?
Yeah, I don't agree with the fans who, you know, get a little over the top and think there's a conspiracy that they want one team to win. I mean, the Iowa State and Kansas State game wouldn't affect anything really in the overall conference scope, but I do think there's probably an officiating problem in terms of there's just a lot of inconsistency. And Iowa State's problem Saturday, their issue Saturday, were not necessarily the calls. It was that the fact that they made calls and then they picked them up. That was kind of the big thing on the pass interference that Matt Campbell was most upset about, even though he wouldn't really verbalize it publicly, was the fact that if you're going to call it, then why does it get picked up? You know, the two reasons you typically see a pass interference picked up is they come in and another official comes in and says the ball was uncatchable or says the ball was tipped. Friday I was watching part of the Iowa-Nebraska game, you know, being one of the games on TV, and I think there was a pass interference of that game, and then they came and said Josie Jewell tipped it. And that's kind of a situation where you see a flag picked up, but you don't really see that a lot just because they say, oh, it wasn't pass interference. So that was Iowa State's main issue, and I think that is an issue across the Big 12 where you just see inconsistent officials. You know, it just seems like calls aren't always consistent. But I don't think there's any vendetta against Iowa State or anything like that. I just think in this particular instance, they happen to be on the wrong end of that call getting picked up.
Alex Halstead with us from 24/7 Sports covers the Iowa State Cyclones, and you'd be the person to ask here, but how is this season affecting things on the recruiting trail for the Cyclones? Are things picking up with the year that Matt Campbell and the team had?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird situation because, you know, they come out of the regular season with 17 commits, and this is a smaller recruiting class. They'll probably end up around 21 or 22. So they don't have very many spots left. We are seeing it affect them a little bit. You know, this weekend they're going to have a 4-star UCLA commit come and visit from down in Texas. And they're in on a couple other kids committed to other schools. And so I think it will affect 2018 a little bit, you know, with maybe helping them close on a couple kids. I think actually the contract might have a bigger effect on this class because there are a couple kids who, you know, there's a kid out in California named Joey Ramos, one of the top offensive linemen, still available. And he's got Arizona State, Washington, and Oregon, and schools like that. He wanted to know if Campbell was staying. And so I think it will affect, that might affect things more. But I think the success from this year we'll probably see more in 2019. It's helped them get a head start with a lot of different kids who are interested early. And so if they can lock up some of those kids, I think the 2019 recruiting class could end up being Matt Campbell's best in terms of ratings. And so I think the success this year, if they have some success early next season, we'll probably see what they've done affect 2019 recruiting more. But I think you're right that there are a couple kids that they're in good shape with right now just because they had some success, and now because those kids know Campbell's going to be here as they begin their careers.
Any thoughts as to what the stability of the coaching staff will look like this year? I know that a new contract, they get $1 million to work with for the assistants. Is there anybody that could be looking at moving elsewhere this year if a job opened up?
Yeah, Matt Campbell was asked about that, and he didn't give necessarily a direct answer. He said he hopes that everybody's back next year. I don't think they're going to make any changes unless somebody, leaves for another job. That's kind of been one of the big things with this staff. I think one of the overlooked things was some of their early success recruiting-wise and just overall is this staff has been together really since Toledo and several years there. So they know each other well. They get along well. I think they're able to move through some things because they all kind of have been on the same page for a long time. I don't anticipate anything right now. I guess you never know for sure if somebody gets a particular job, there's a connection and they hire someone away. But right now, I just don't see it. Tom Manning's a guy that him and Campbell are kind of really, really connected at the hip, so to speak, for a long, long time. And so I think, he's probably safe here. And, John Haycock, the defensive corner, I don't know if there's anything out there for him. So I think right now they'll probably be intact. But eventually you're just kind of waiting for one of these years somebody to have an opportunity elsewhere. And Campbell said that himself, that, he understands that the career progression for some of these guys, if there is an opportunity, he'd want them to pursue it. But he's hopeful that this staff, at least next year, will be back as it is right now.
Because of all the things that you just laid out there, do you think that the $1 million of extra money that will be allotted to the assistant coaches was one of the more overlooked part of this new contract?
Yeah, I think so. I think Matt Campbell, he's kind of always been big, I think, on that aspect of it, of having his staff together. It's interesting because when he first got to Iowa State, I think, he basically brought his Toledo staff with him, except for there were a few exceptions. Lou Ioane, the running backs coach, was actually already at Iowa State. Alex Gorse, their tight ends coach and recruiting coordinator, came from Illinois, but had connection. But most of it came from Toledo. A lot of people were, why is he just bringing all these same guys? Well, I think if it works somewhere else, you want to keep your guys. And so that's kind of always been his belief, is to keep the people who have had the success with him. And so I think that $1 million that will get divvied up across the staff, I think that was probably a really big part of Campbell's demands, to increase their salaries and to keep this together, because I think he knows that both recruiting-wise and on-field success-wise, keeping that staff intact and not having the staff turnover every year is big. When you look at before he got here, Joel Lanning had something when he was quarterback, hit something like three different offensive coordinators. And when you have that much turnover, it's hard for your players too. So I think he understands that.
Let's switch to basketball. Northern Illinois, the next game up, I believe that's Monday night, and then the Hawkeyes head to Hilton Coliseum on Thursday. Where is this team at right now, about halfway through the non-conference portion of the schedule?
Well, they looked much better lately, but they're kind of in a weird spot because they did play Saturday, but before that they had a little bit of a break, and they don't play again, like you said, till Monday. So they're going to go from Saturday to Monday, this another big layoff. So it's kind of a weird schedule this year where they've had two games in basically 2.5 weeks. And, we talked to Steve Prohm today, and he said they're right now doing kind of split practices, working with young guys. And so they're just trying to work their way through this kind of lull. And that'll make Monday a little bit interesting. Northern Illinois is a team that also lost to Milwaukee early in the season. And so they've got some common tape there, although Iowa State's been a different team since they've gotten their full team back and gotten past that game. But they're definitely playing better with Nick Weaver-Babb at the point guard and Donovan Jackson and Lindell Wigginton off the ball. But I think it's probably good for them that they have a game before they do play Iowa, because they haven't played in so long. I'm interested to see if they're a little bit rusty and a little bit off next Monday. But next week's a busy week. They get Northern Illinois, then Iowa on Thursday, and then they have another game that weekend. So they have three games next week and kind of get going. But they're in a decent position non-conference-wise, you know, at 4-2. If they can beat Northern Illinois, they can go into the Iowa game at 5-2. But, you know, there's some tough games still. You got Iowa. UNI is looking like a much better team than I could have ever thought in the offseason. And so they still have some tough games coming up before they get to the Big 12 portion.
Alex Halstead at 24/7 Sports. We appreciate it as always. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Guys, I'm talking to you right now. Do you know what low testosterone means? Well, if the answer is no, you may want to check out the website lowtusa.com. It'll introduce you to Mantality. They take care of the overall wellness and bring it back to your life by performing testosterone replacement therapy on men who qualify. Symptoms of low testosterone can include fatigue, lack of focus, concentration issues, decreased muscle mass and strength, depression, lowered libido, you guys know what that means, poor sleep, and even weight gain. Under the care of certified medical staff, it's medical doctors and nurse practitioners, you're going to experience testosterone replacement therapy the way it always should have been done. Mantality monitors your treatment to ensure it's not only effective but safe for your body, helping you to achieve a newer feeling you. Mantality is different because they monitor treatment and are honest with the results, all while pairing that to their goals that make sure you're getting everything you wanted out of treatment. Plus, they accept most insurances. That's lowtusa.com, the website to go to. You'll learn more about Mantality. They have a local clinic in North Liberty right between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, making and taking appointments right now on Mondays. Mantality and Low T USA. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues after this.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Beat the Christmas shopping crowds this holiday season and start your shopping at Siegel's. Get jewelry at 40 to 75% off retail savings. This sale includes our entire stock of new and estate jewelry, diamonds, watches, tennis bracelets, gold and sterling. No interest layaway and Synchrony financing available. Visit our family-owned and operated store located on First Avenue, one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month, the one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, why have you been shredding for hours?
The boss said we should cut costs, Mr. Employee of the Month.
How does this cut costs?
These are the expense reports for the whole year.
You shredded them all?
Thanks to me, our expenses this year are zero.
If you don't mind hiring Daves, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Up against the top of the hour break, so we'll dive right into it. Here's Kyle with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa had a pair of all-timers on this year's defense, and today they were each recognized by the Big Ten as the best at their position. Cornerback Josh Jackson was named the Tatum Woodson Defensive Back of the Year, and Josie Jewell earned the Butkus Fitzgerald Linebacker of the Year, as well as the Nagurski Woodson Defensive Player of the Year. And this may be the least surprising news of the football season, but Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell was named Big 12 Coach of the Year today. He took a 3-9 team from last season to 7-5 this season, the best year for the Cyclones since 05. And while Iowa State had only ever had one victory over top five opponent in program history, Campbell led his team to 2 in this season alone. The Iowa women nearly upset number 13 Florida State last night. The Hawkeyes led 71-63 entering the fourth quarter, but 21 turnovers on the night came back to bite them, and they fell 94-93 in the final minutes. Megan Gustafson had 34 points on 15 of 18 from the floor, but was held to single-digit rebounds for the first time this season. The UNI men did upset UNLV last night. Bennett Cook led with 30 points in the 77-68 victory over the previously unbeaten Rebels. Northern Iowa now has a few good non-con wins already, and to put things into perspective, their RPI is 27, Iowa State's is 20, Iowa's is 237. Tonight after the show, we're headed all over the place. We've got three frequencies, and we're going to use all of them. On 1600 AM, the historic main gym, we'll have the Iowa State women traveling to Drake, set to tip off right at 7. We'll also have the Iowa City West guys hosting Dowling. That'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. And Linmar hosting Kennedy, visiting Kennedy, on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
All right, it's Thursday. It's a staple. Would ya is next. 2 hours down, one to go. Back with more.